Hallelujah. Don't sit down. We pick a text from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 before you sit down. Are we there? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Examine yourselves if ye be in the faith. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Be seated. Amen. Listen very well, please. Listen very well. Listen very well. The definition of faith is varies according to the context it is used. So we say faith. Faith here. Faith also is used interchangeably for revelation. When the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He said, without revelation, it is impossible to please God. He said, by faith, Hebrews 11:4, he says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What he said is by revelation that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He had that revelation. So the word is faith. The just shall live by faith. It's by revelation. So it is faith. And examine yourself if you be in the faith. It is not that revelation that Apostle Paul was referring to. Then, there is the faith used as an English word to define your religion or your denomination. What is your faith? I am Islam. Islam is my faith. Hindu is my faith. Christianity is my faith. What is your faith? You are a Christian. Which faith? I am Baptist. I am Catholic. I am this. That is your faith. But examine yourself. If you be in the faith, he is not talking about your religion. That is not what that scripture is talking about. There is a definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And what he's talking about here is the ability to believe. To believe and receive or see. The ability to believe and receive or believe and see is also called faith. But that is not the faith that Apostle Paul is referring to in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where he says, examine yourself if you be in the faith. The faith that Apostle Paul is referring to is the expectant hope, or what I call the home-going faith. It is the home-going faith, the expectant hope of a believer. And that is what I want to look at. It is called the rapturing faith. That is what I want to look at. The rapturing faith. That is our topic for this exhortation. It's just an exhortation that will help somebody. The rapturing faith. There is the expectant hope, the hope of the believer today. And it is also the hope of every one of us here, I believe. every one of us here, the whole Christian world, there is an expectation. All of us are expecting. We are expecting the rapture to strike any time from now. What is the rapture? The rapture is the catching away of the bride to glory. The catching away of a bride to glory. Apostle Paul caught it. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and verse 18. This is how it will happen. Let's read it from verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, believers, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. There are people that have no hope. How many of us here have hope? How many of us have hope? Amen. You are the one I'm talking to. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also we sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? We are reading up to verse 18. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive now, we are alive now, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep, those who are dead now and they are buried. A Christian does not die. Why is it called sleep? Sleep is because you will wake up. Hallelujah. It's not an everlasting sleep. It is just rest. So for the Lord himself, this is how what will happen, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I am talking about the rapture. You don't see that word rapture in the Bible. This is the rapture. This, what I'm reading, is what English language calls rapture. It's a description of the catching away of the bride. Let's read that verse 16 again. Hallelujah. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, they are those that are sleeping, those who are in Christ and are dead, shall rise first. They will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he concluded in verse 18, Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you know why he said you should comfort? Comfort because the sufferings we are going through now, there is a time it will end. Let that comfort you that I may not have anything here now. Amen. But very soon, I will have the whole world. Amen. Comfort yourself with these words. Now, that is what we call the rapture. Now, but if there is going to be such an event, then we have people who are looking forward to it. How many people are here looking forward to it? Amen. Please listen very carefully. I may not be saying anything new to some people here, but just to encourage you. Because I was sharing in the office with some ministers that when I was sharing recently with a sister who was telling me some horrible things men of God do, Christians do, some of them personally, she has experienced with some of them. And I boasted to her, I said, look at me very well. This heaven, me, Moses Alu, I will go there. Me, I will go. I don't know how many people will also say confidently, me, I will go. Now listen, you will not go because you say you will go. Do you understand? Eh? You are not a Christian because you say you are a Christian. You are not a Christian because anywhere you go, you see, I am a Christian. Or you hang a badge on your chest. Anywhere you go. Don't talk like that. Oh, I'm born again. I'm born again. Oh, I'm born again. That's not what makes you a Christian. Amen. What makes you a Christian is not what you say. It is what you do. Or what you don't do. It's your character. Praise the Lord. Always have that. You say you are sure you are going to heaven. I am sure if I die today, me, I am sure I will be with the Lord. How many people can say that? Just your hand. Put down your hand. Now, if you cannot say that confidently now, you don't have rapturing faith. You are not yet ready to go. And for your information, Christ is coming for you through two ways. And each of these two ways, he said the day or the hour, no man knows. Not even the Son of God knows, only God himself. One of the ways is he will come by the way of death. None of you here, none of us can say, I am sure, I know when I will die. God has made sure no human being knows when he will die. The day, the time, not the hour, we don't know. So he can come for you. Because the rapture will take place either as we are alive or through the grave. So you say you are ready to go to heaven. And you are not sure now. And you know that any time at all you can die. I will not die untimely death. Who determines the time? It's God that determines the time. You are there living anyhow type of life. And then you are saying, any time, I'm ready. If the Lord come now. Come now. I will go. When you come to call your people, remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. Let me tell you, it's a wrong prayer. It's a wrong prayer. The song you should be singing is not remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. That is not it. The song you should be singing is this whole world can never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone. For I have made my consecration. And I have my wedding garments on. Hallelujah. Now, what is the rapturing faith? The rapturing faith is the home going expectation. The home going expectation. So when you ask me, Pastor, amen, hallelujah. A young sister came with her fiance to introduce him to me. In fact, two couples today were in my office. I saw them and they came confidently. Daddy, I have come to introduce my fiance to you. I asked him one question. Have you met her parents? Before I finish, say, oh, yes, I don't meet her. Amen. Because there is a condition. Why will you come and tell me that a girl is coming to tell me that this is my fiance when he has not known your parents? Is that girl ready for marriage? If the papa refuses, uncle. If the mama refuses, uncle. there must be a commitment from that young man. And the commitment is more than engagement ring that he gave you. You can buy ring anywhere, but you cannot buy acceptance from the papa and the mama. Is there a difficult thing for somebody to give you a ring? And it's not your chance because he promised you, I will marry you, I will marry you. You say, I will marry you. You say, I will, I will, I will, I will. But tomorrow he can come and say, I discover it cannot work. Praise the Lord. The rapturing faith. Amen. The whole Christian world, we are expecting to go. Listen. You are not going in the rapture as a Catholic. Let me not go too far. You are not going in the rapture as a member of Brother Assembly Church in Jesha. And the fact that the name of your church is Chosen or Redeemed or Sele or Christ Embassy or Assemblies of God, the name has nothing to do with it. Can I tell you something? There is no identification of the bride of Jesus Christ as redeemed. Because you are from Redeemed Church. Because you are from Catholic. All this is only name identification of a gathering of people somewhere. It has nothing. Nobody is going to church because you belong to any church. You know, nobody is going to rapture, because you belong to any church. Let this be, catch this very well, it will help you. If your pastor is teaching anything different from what I am saying, he's deceiving you. Hallelujah. So you want to go in the rapture? Listen to me now, listen to me. Catch just one thing. If you want to go in the rapture, there is a rapturing faith. Now, examine yourself whether you are in that faith. The rapturing faith. What is the rapturing faith again? It is the hope-going expectation. Expectation. What is the rapturing faith? Let me put it again in another way now for Bible readers. It is the harvest of the seed that was planted. So this is why I talk now. You know, nobody knows what I'm referring to. Nobody knows what I'm referring to. Eh? What is the rapture? What is the rapture? What is the rapture? What is the rapture? The rapture is the harvest of the seed that was planted. The farmer goes to the farm and plants a seed, correct? He plants corn. And he goes. The next time he's coming to harvest. He planted with an expectation of harvest. Listen very well, all of you that kill yourself over the church you come from. Listen very well. The seed that the farmer planted is the same seed he is coming to harvest. He planted corn or wheat. He planted rice. When he will be coming for harvest, he is not coming to harvest anything other than the rice he planted. If I not talk again, I can leave you to think on this. Praise the Lord. That is the problem with Christianity today. Where they should concentrate on, they have left it and they are wasting their time with church activities. Struggling for positions in the church. Seeking for recognition by pastor. And where they should concentrate on, they have abandoned it. Listen, examine yourself if you be in this faith and it is the home-going expectation. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, severally, most of his parables he gave to cause us to understand the gospel. The message, the salvation plan, redemption plan. He will use a farmer and a farm. Husbandman, farm, vineyard. Everything is about farming. Amen. And it came to Mark chapter 4, verse 26. From verse 26, let's read it. He was describing the church age. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. He's telling you, so is the divine agenda of God. Such is the plan of God. Such is the program of God. Understand it like this, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. That is period of time after planting the seed. And the seed should spring and grow up. He said, he knoweth not how. That is, he doesn't bother himself. Because he knows once it is planted, it must grow. Hallelujah. For the earth on her own, it's a principle that it works, bringeth forth fruit of herself. But take note, he also said it, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. Amen. Listen, church, it is a principle that every seed that you plant, a farmer plants, what is the first thing that happens to that seed? The seed will die and rotting away. It must die. Amen. But that one seed, after it dies, at harvest time, that one seed, how many seeds will it produce? Multitude of seeds. Only one mango seed you will plant, it will turn to a tree, and then so many other mangoes from that one seed. And he was referring to the harvest of God's children on earth. God had only one seed, one son, the begotten son, the first begotten, only one, Jesus. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When you see me, you see the Father. Hallelujah. One, only one out of millions or billions of human beings on earth. One. But there is a principle for multiplication. Now, prosperity teachers, they teach this very well. But I'm not teaching it for prosperity. Christ did not give us that example for us to multiply our money. Although it works as a principle that way, but he was using the principle for the harvest of souls on earth. For the harvest of souls on earth. Hallelujah. The corn that fall down must die. That is the mystery why Jesus Christ had to die. If he didn't die, the life that is in him would not have come forth to produce Christians today. So it was needful that he must die. He must die. So that he will not be the only son. He now becomes the firstborn among many brethren. Praise the Lord. That is it for him. Now the church also. Hallelujah. The church also is the same thing. The church was planted on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Let's finish that parable. Verse 27. We're in verse 28 now. For the earth bringeth fruit first. Bringeth forth fruit of herself first. What is the first thing when you plant the seed? What is the first thing that comes out? The blade. When that blade shoots out. Listen, oh, if you are hearing me for the first time. When that blade shoots out, does the farmer go for harvest? But he can look and he's happy that seed that died, the life is coming up now. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. First the blade, then the thing will grow again. You see some other things formed there. And you call the air. When he sees it, he's happy, isn't it? The life is coming up. But is it time for harvest yet? After that, you will see the full corn in the ear formed there. But when the fruit that he planted, that seed that he planted, is reproduced again, is brought forth. See the way he put it? Immediately, he put it in the sickle because the harvest is come. So it's not when the blade shoots out. The rapture cannot take place at that time. Amen. Let me go back a little bit. The church of Jesus Christ was planted on the day of Pentecost. Am I correct? Listen very well. It will help you. All of you who come to a ministry like this and all you are looking at is anointing, anointing, anointing. You jump. All you know is to follow prophets up and down. That's all you know. Listen very well. We shall go in the rapture. You'll be pursuing prophets here. Then when you turn, you come here one day. You don't see some of us. Because certainly I'll be among. But there will be people that will come for vigil. There will be people that will play music. There will be people that are interceding or intercessors. And there will be people that will do opening prayer. But there are some people that will come. Say, what is happening? When the saints shall march to heaven with Jesus as their leader.
Marching on warlike soldiers. Yes, able soldiers. Singing and rejoicing. Oh, hear the sinners shouting. Oh, no.
Oh,
and I know. The sinner's voice are here. God, 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 God. They are God.
They are God.
Marching to join.
Marching
to join the glorious. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, wake up, sinner. Oh, wake up, sinner. Oh, wake up, sinner.
Oh, wake up, slumber, wake up.
Wake up,
and prepare for his glory.
That's what the song is.
Seeking
saying.
Jesus the Savior, the captain of the band. the sight before it's too late. Oh, join the lookers cry. Oh no, and I know. Oh no, the sinner's voice. Gone. They are gone, marching to joy. To join the glorious, oh no, and I know.
Nobody comes across this ministry by mistake. If you are not a candidate for the rapture, you will not like this church. That's why I take time to say it as it should be said. For faith coming by hearing the word of God. The church of Jesus Christ was planted from the day of Pentecost. And that seed planting time was the first church age. It was seed planting time. It was not just a one day or one time exercise. It was a period of time. And that gave us the New Testament Bible from the book of Acts to the book of Jude. That is the apostolic faith. Whatever you see in the Bible is the apostolic ministry from the book of Acts of Apostles to the last book, not the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is prophecy. But the faith is established from the book of Acts to the book of Jude. Everything you need to know about who a Christian is and what is Christian character and everything at all, that is where you see it. And that was their ministry. It was planting time. It was the apostolic ministry is the seed planting time. That is the reason why I say now there is no apostolic office. Because they are foundation laying ministry. They are the seed planting ministry for the church. And they are not dead. They are still alive. They've still formed part of the fivefold ministry. When I hold my Bible, I am holding the apostolic ministry. He gave some apostles, some prophets. When you see Prophet Sunday, any of the prophets here, hold microphone, that is the prophetic ministry. And he gave some evangelists. And he gave some teachers and some pastors. I am operating a pastoral ministry. Praise the Lord. I am a pastor. A pastor is the keeper of the sheepfold. A shepherd. The sheep of God, they don't feed in any other thing for the just. The sheep shall live by faith. Our strength is in his word. The faith muscles we have is the word of God. And it's very easy to know them. There's something in you, the deep, call it to the deep. There is a deep to respond. What excites the bride of Christ in this age is not miracle. Is the word. When a revelation strikes, it can keep you drunk for the whole day. Hallelujah. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the asunder, the dividing of soul and of spirit. The word of God. Hallelujah. No prayer can stop you can make you to conquer sin. No fasting can make you to conquer sin. But fasting and prayer can give you power to cast out devils. I don't know if you are hearing me. Fasting and prayer can give you anointing to cast out devils. But it cannot stop you from committing sin. Therefore, anointing cannot take you to heaven. It cannot help you to go to heaven. But the only thing that can keep you from committing sin, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. It's the word. If you spend one tenth of the time some of you spend on the mountain to studying the word, we shall be better Christians than many of us are now. Because some of you, you go to the mountain to do witchcraft prayer. To pray for your enemy to fall down and die. Look, nobody that knows the word will pray that type of prayer. It's evidence you don't have the word in you. Praise the Lord. Nobody that says, I am a candidate for the rapture, loaded with the word of God, will grumble when you have a disappointment. Because there is a word that will be ringing in your heart. All things work together for good. In all circumstances, give thanks. How can you know this? And frustration will worry you. Because one yeye serpent is disappointed, you say he won't marry you again. Amen. He used me and dumped me. He used me. He used me. Now when I use you myself, how he take use you? You see such language in the church of Jesus Christ. And they say they are ready for rapture. But now listen. If you want to know the church that, I mean, the church that will be raptured, the group of people that will be raptured, the individual that will be raptured, Christ used this parable in Mark chapter 4 to tell us. And that also lets us understand why up to now the rapture has not taken place. It is because what has been planted has not yet formed. What has been planted has not yet formed. But it is going to form. For I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. It is thus said the Lord. God's purpose can never be defeated. He always has the final say. Whatever devil is doing, he's only working out God's purpose. He didn't know that there's a reason why he allowed all these errors to creep into the church. So if you look at the history of the church of Jesus Christ, the seed that was planted, hallelujah. The seed that was planted in the New Testament, in the first church age, it died. AD 325, something happened when Christianity and paganism married. And it brought death. To fulfill another parable that Jesus Christ gave in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Nothing take God by surprise. He saw it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. It cannot take him by surprise. It can't take him by surprise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, another parable spake he unto them. Now Jesus, they talk this one, no? And take note, he didn't explain the meaning of the parables. I hope you know. Okay. He said, the kingdom of heaven, the same church age, is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, the fulfillment of this parable was what every theologian knows today as the Nicene Council meeting in Nicaea, somewhere in Rome there, that Christianity and paganism came together and married, and this scripture was fulfilled. The three measures of meal are the three works of grace: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The level there is false doctrine that they took and mixed them together until the whole process of redemption was corrupted. And what did it produce? It produced 1,000 years of dark ages. That is when the church, the seed that was planted, died. Paganism mixed with the unadulterated Christianity and idol worship was instituted. Pagan worship given Christian connotations or colorations. That is when we have, it was there, the one God of Israel became three gods in one. That is when images were erected and shrines were erected in church compounds. Unknown to them is Semiramis. That same pagan worship of that queen, place and given a Christian name, Mary. And people bow before it. That is when water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ was removed. And infant baptism and sprinkling of water and all the perversions. That is when baptism of the Holy Ghost by genuine experience was substituted with the taking of the Holy Eucharist. That is when commercialization of the gospel started. For everything, you pay for it. That is when, contrary, that there is only one mediator between God and man, other mediums were introduced. Saint Jude, pray for us. Saint Anthony, pray for us. Holy Mother of God, pray for us. That is when it was introduced. Praise the Lord. That is when hierarchies were introduced, known as the doctrine of Nicolaitans. And the Holy Ghost says he hates it. Oh, glory be to God. Some people, they come brother assembly, you don't even know who we are. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the scripture says. And our names are sin with thee, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God, who's the rich in our land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't know who we are. In this age, God's attributes we have manifested to
His bride in this last age. We have called the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are reserved for. Praise the Lord, for the rich in our lives.
That is who we are. Hallelujah. Keep coming, you will soon know. Then you will understand why we don't have branches with headquarters. Then you don't know why we don't have a Bible school to produce pastors. Then you will soon get to know why I am called Brother Moses Alu. I am not Reverend Dr. Moses Alu. I don't know. I don't know if you go get a doctorate degree. Oh, I don't get money to buy them. Every year, even this year, they have offered me honorary doctorate degree. Institutions. He said, for the great work I am doing. And I told them, the evidence of the great work I'm doing is that you will be converted. You're not converted, you're giving me honor. Which honor? Which honor are you giving me? When you're not converted. Did I tell you I'm looking for certificates? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They don't know who we are. That we read in the scripture now. Very soon, it says, and we who live in yet remain.
God's all shall meet our faithful Lord.
This hope we cherish not in vain.
But we comfort one another by His word.
Oh, He's coming soon.
He's coming soon. With joy, with joy, we welcome His return. It may be morning,
it may be
maybe night or noon. We know He's coming soon.
In these
dark closing days of time, what joy, that glorious hope I found.
That's true,
oh wondrous truth sublime. He shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords.
He's coming soon.
With joy, He welcomes His return. It may be more.
I don't know.
It's coming soon.
Hallelujah. Keep coming here and you will understand why my wife is not sitting on a special seat at the altar here. Why she is not called Mommy Joe. All these were injected at the depth of that seed that was planted from Pentecost. It's not part of the apostolic faith. And the apostolic faith is so certain that Apostle Paul said, if any man preaches any other gospel, contrary to what we have preached, let him be blessed. Let him be what? Let him be a... He said, even if an angel... Let's open it. Proverbs 6. Galatians chapter 1. 7, 8, 9. Galatians. Apostle Paul finished preaching, setting up a church, setting things in Galatia. Contrary was small. By the time he came back, he can see some funny things taking place there. He can see, say, the leader there, don't change his name, to most senior apostle. He came, he can see, say, one don't become Reverend Doctor, Archbishop. Before you know what, you see the woman sitting down there at the altar, Mommy Joe. Money, national, international coordinator. Look. He saw them selling anointing oil. Selling water. Selling handkerchief. He turned to look. He saw women sitting down without their hair covered. Hey, verse 6, what did he say? He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It's another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And verse 8, he now gave, but though we, including himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let it be. Hey. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man, no matter what the title he holds, preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. There are many people that are under accursed churches, accursed pastors, and they don't even know it. You don't use anointing to know whether somebody is with God or not. It is the scripture you use to measure to know whether somebody is with God or not. William Branham called it the word test. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So listen very well. That is the period the church died according to God's principle of sowing and reaping. Seed time and harvest time. He, God, allowed it to die. And it lasted for almost 1,000 years, according to church history. What? The three works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, the complete work of redemption in a believer, was corrupted and gave us the dark ages. It was a period in church history where even it was an offense to be seen with Bible. Only the priests had access to the Bible. The rest of it is whatever they tell you, you do. And we know all the nonsense that took place that time. But God allowed it. Then suddenly, there is a blade that shoot up. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That blade that shot out. When did it shoot out? It shot out in fulfillment of another parable in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, the parable of the foolish and the wise virgins. Can we read it from verse 1? Then, future, the kingdom of heaven, the church ages, be likened unto 10 virgins. It's a parable. We took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Ahem. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That is the dark ages. And at midnight, the darkest hour of the night. The darkest hour of total corruption of the word of God. You can imagine that almost 1,000 years, people did not have Bible to read. Then imagine what the Christian faith will look like. Generations that we are born that knew no other thing than what the priests were telling them. When I say priests, I mean priests of Baal. They were the priests of Baal in their groups. in their shrines with the Christian name, church. I'm reading. Praise the Lord. And at midnight, the darkest hour, no more light at all, something happened. There was a cry made. What is the cry? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Go ye out. You have been dead. The first thing that responded to that shout is that blade. Bam! It's coming out of darkness. And that was when God raised a man from the Catholic system. What is his name? Martin Luther. Hallelujah. And thought began to expose the errors of the system concerning justification. Just the justification. You don't work penance. You don't work to get salvation. You don't pay for salvation. Salvation. He said, the just shall live by faith. Not by all these penances you are doing. Hallelujah. And that began the restoration of that dead city. And before you know what, the next thing sprang up. After the revival of Luther, millions of people came out of the Catholic Church, known today as the Protestant move. Hallelujah. Now listen very well. If you catch this picture, you'll understand why I tell some people that it's not easy to pastor my converts. Because our eyes don't open. You go and sit down in a church, and then you are seeing one man setting up family business and wants you to join him. I give you an appointment. You will say, Pastor, no now. When they want to catch you, you say, the Lord told me. You say, wait, I have Bible now. We have Bible. The next work of grace is sanctification. And God raised another man again after Luther. What is his name? I'm speaking Bible history. Church history. John Wesley. And says his own was without holiness. No one will see God. After you are justified, add holiness to it. Amen. That's the period where you see practical holiness. Can't wear trousers like a woman now. You can't wear earring, palm hair. Can't wear those jewelries now. Holiness, 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 holiness. It is response to the shout. Hallelujah. It is restoration time. It is now leading to the rapture. Remember, hallelujah, that the next one is the ear of the corn. After the blade, the ear, the blade is justification. The ear is sanctification. And then, after some years, for the third work of grace to be restored, God raised another man by the name of Simon. What's his name? William Simon, a black American. Now, began to look at the Acts of Apostles like Elisha. Where is the Lord God of Elisha? Where are the gifts? Why is there no more healing and deliverance that was destroyed by that false marriage of idolatry with Christianity? that produced the Roman church. Where is it? And they started fasting and praying. You can go and Google it, William Simon, and you will just get excited at the story of this Pentecostal move. And one day, in a gathering, in a street known as Azusa Street, somewhere, something happened. As it was in the day of Pentecost, the fire came down. Glory! That is the shout. I know some of you will say, you say it's William Branham that fulfilled the shout. I have corrected that already. I have placed it properly. The shout is not one man. Amen. The shout is a restoration ministry. And the restoration ministry started with Luther. Restoring what was lost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was a move. And that is what produced the Pentecostal move. Now, take note of something. He said, then you will see the corn in the ear. Hallelujah. Can we read it again? Verse 28 of Mark chapter 4. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn. Listen. The full corn in the ear. Verse 29. It is not yet the fruit. There is the corn that is produced. But when the fruit is brought forth. So the emphasis here now is the fruit. Because it is the fruit that you will eat. So that is the fruit that the farmer is interested in. Once you see the fruit brought forth, he said what? Immediately. Somebody shout immediately. Immediately, the rapture will take place. Pentecostalism is the corn, the full corn in the ear, because justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are the three works of grace. But how will we know you are sanctified, you are justified, you are sanctified, and you are now filled with the Holy Ghost? There will be fruit. By their fruits ye shall know them. You say you are speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. You say you don't wear earring again. You don't wear trousers, sister. That is wonderful. Hallelujah. But there is still more to it. What of the fruit? For a tree is known by her fruit. Blessed be the name of the Lord.